guys, if you didn't hear, the brand new Core show is out. It's called Core. It's all about Heroes of the Storm. And if you like that game at all, I think you might really love this show. First episode is up on the feed now. We have a new one coming out this Saturday. To learn more, get subscribed for free on all your favorite podcast apps and services. Head over to frogpants.com/core. That's Core with me, Bo, and John every Saturday right here on the Frog Pants Network. Coming up on TMS, spoilers.
Jim Davis met the Pope.
There's a Back to the Future thing happening.
Mad Max in real life.
Guys try to jump out of a plane.
NASA told Ridley Scott stuff long time ago.
Probably a long time ago, but yeah. I screwed that up. Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
If you're sick of being sick, call Dr. Tregoning. If you feel like you're constantly complaining of headache, backaches, neck pain, or shoulder pain, chiropractic care may bring the relief you want. Find out with a free chiropractic examination by Dr. Tregoning at Tregoning Chiropractic Center, where treatment may cost you nothing depending on your insurance policy. If you're sick of being sick, call Dr. Tregoning at 627-6611 for your free examination at Tregoning Chiropractic Center on 31st near Garnett. Convenient to all expressways.
That's a good point. Ow, damn it. I just pinched myself and made a sound as I did it.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. Somebody made the point the other day that, Brian, when we start the show, we mention the name of the show up to five times every time we start the show.
Do we say The Morning Stream?
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's counting the theme.
The song? Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But you got us on the top where we say right. Coming up on TMS, and then we have Morning Stream at the end of the read, and then you got Fletcher, and then you have us again. So that's what, three?
It's what is it? It's one of Maslow's stages, or not Maslow. There was another marketing guru who said that if you hear something 2.3 times, it's committed to memory, and that's why like. You hear those commercials, call 1-800-555-3192. That's 1-800-555-3192. Call now, 1-800-555-3192.
Yeah, they always do.
And once you hear it that third time, it's like, okay, all right, I've got it.
Do you remember the number you just said? Because we may want to call that number and see what happens.
1-800-555-3192?
Yeah, let me try.
It was a random set of numbers I came up with, obviously the 555. But
the trick here is I'm going to see if it's...
Well, it's a 555 number. It won't do anything.
You don't think so?
No,
I've heard that there are some 555 numbers at work. So hold on.
They really, you know what, if the phone company was smart, yeah. They would take all the 555 numbers
yeah.
And have them go to the same recording that says, this is from a TV show, you jackass.
That would be really good. All right. We're just going to try this. 800-555. What was the last four?
3192.
3192. Okay. We're going to call it. Let's get this on speaker. Here you go. Let's just see. First ring.
We would like your opinion in a quick three-question survey. As a thank you, select callers will receive a free Caribbean cruise for two for helping us. Let's begin.
Okay.
If you are under 65, press 1. If you are 65 or older, if you are 21 years or older, press 1. If you are under 21... If you would like to take a vacation in the next year, press 1. If not, press 2. If you enjoy vacations with the whole family, uh-huh. Press 1.
Okay.
If you prefer romantic getaways, press 2.
Ooh.
Ooh. What'd you do, 22?
Thank you. Yeah. As a reward for completing our survey, you've earned a free Caribbean cruise for two. You are only responsible for nominal port fees of $59 per person. Enjoy your vacation. To accept your cruise,
what?
Please press 1 now.
Okay, hold on. This may get... Okay, I guess we're going to get a real person now.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
I would like cruise.
Hello.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to Holiday Cruise Line. I'm showing you a transfer for a cruise.
Oh, this sounds like bullshit. Okay, I hung up on him. That sounds like garbage to me.
Wow. Okay, there's a 555 number that works.
Yep. I just, you know, sometimes you got to do things on a whim, and that felt like a whim to me.
There was a little part of me that was hoping that, like, you know, the correct answers to those three questions would lead us down a rabbit hole to, MI6.
Oh, that would
be
great.
Tom Cruise, like, he goes to a phone booth.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? They get some kind of NSA operative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. What's your location? We'll have an extraction.
Yeah. We'll have a black nondescript van with no plates. Right. Be there in a minute. Be ready or die.
Oh my God.
Anyway, that was fun. So there's it's a show to do. We got things and recommendals coming up. I believe Nicole is still on maternity leave. However, if she suddenly texts me, and we'll pull her in. But Brian and I are prepared. Oh, I forgot to do your thing. I'll get it before we do it.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get to all that. There's lots happening. I either have a severe allergy thing going on today, or there's a cold coming on, and I'm not sure which it is. So right now, everyone,
a hurricane of virus, virinado.
Virinado. I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Or a tornivorous. Okay, that's bad. Don't do a tornivorous. Okay, so I got an email from somebody I wanted to share real quick. And it calls into question, once again, the 2-week spoiler rule. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I wanted Mike to have his say. Mike wrote in, says this, "Dear spoilery and witty name that starts with B pertaining to spoilers that I can't think of." "There are far worse things to get upset over than having a major plot twist spoiled for a TV show, movie, video game, or book. That being said, Vince Gilligan can take his 2-week rule and shove it up his ass. I'm a cord cutter, and I don't subscribe to the HBO standalone service. You mentioned a certain Game of Thrones character returning to set, speculating he may be appearing in someone's dream or as a ghost. The latest season was just released digitally less than a month ago, and I have about 3/4 the way through it. Long, drawn-out sigh. Love the show, though. Mike." So here's the question.
Sure.
Should the 2-week thing be amended to allow for... In other words, should there be different rules for different people? So some cord cutters... are cord cutters, but also not subscribing to other ways to get it. So the only way they get it is either digital a year later or whatever it is, 8 months later, or DVD or Blu-ray later. Should we be accounting for them or not? Considering
really
our obvious, our audience, considering the makeup of our audience, knowing that they are generally speaking pretty on the spot when it comes to new nerdy things happening.
Right, right.
Because we have to wait. That has to equate in here a little bit.
Right. I don't think so. I think that you can't, it's so hard to like have all of these gray areas of, okay, well, we can talk about this one, but we can't talk about this one because of, you know, Showtime Now or HBO Now or whatever. I would say, and Ikor brings up a good point. Spoiler rule can't really apply if the plot is in the book. I think you just have a hard and fast rule of 2 weeks on any of it.
Okay.
And
2 weeks from book, 2 weeks from show, 2 weeks from movie.
Right, exactly. Hey, look, Andy Samberg basically spoiled the same thing at the Emmy Awards.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? And that was a big millions of people watching it.
Exactly.
Deal.
I love that there was a thing where he walked up on George R. R. Martin, who's sitting in the audience. And then he's getting ready to cut to the next thing. And he says, "By the way, I do want to thank George R. R. Martin for telling me such and such, confirming that such and such happened."
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't see any of that. But to me, look, we could get ourselves in knots trying to figure out what to say and when not to say it. Mm-hmm. I've been in trouble for saying something years after something happened and somebody being upset with me. I had somebody on Current Geek get angry that we talked about plot points in Empire Strikes Back.
What?
Because they had never seen, or maybe it was their wife had never seen any of the Star Wars movies, and he was going to surprise her by taking her, watching all of them in some date or something before going to see the new one. Like, he was going to make this huge deal out of it.
Wow.
Which I totally understand. That sounds great and everything, but you can't tell me I can't talk about Empire Strikes Back 35 years later.
Oh, yeah. No, that's way, 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 way out of line,
that's
out of jurisdiction.
That's a stone's throw to, no, what's the phrase? That's a bridge too far.
That's a far sight.
There's a far sight to bridge. There it is. So I think we're sticking to our 2 week thing, but we will gladly take feedback during the next few days. Send your emails in themorningstream@gmail.com and we'll talk about it. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Kim Davis. Remember her? Her deal? Her big deal?
Oh, I remember that sexy, sexy Kentucky court clerk.
Yeah, coming out there, Eye of the Tiger.
Right.
Well,
no, was it Eye of the Tiger?
Yeah, I thought it was Eye of the Tiger, wasn't it? I think it was. It was some foreigner business, I think, right?
No, not foreigner. Survivor.
Survivor. I always get foreigner and survivor mixed up.
Oh, Scott, don't you want to know what love is?
Yeah, I know. Are you getting double vision?
We're playing head games.
I was standing in the rain with my head hung low. Couldn't get a ticket. It was a sold out show. Which song? Now, which band is that?
That's all foreigner.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get them mixed up. I can't help it.
He's a juice box hero.
One of my friends used to say, standing in the rain with his pants hung low, couldn't get a ticket. And they would sing the rest normal. And I thought, no, I don't think it's pants hung low, dude.
No, that maybe would apply in the 90s or early 2000s, but...
Not so much now, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that's a thing that has gone away a bit. I don't see too many lowrider pants anymore. But you do see the ones like Bieber wears where it's got a giant crotch. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, so it's... The pants are closer to the waist, but the crotch, it's just built with a long...
Yeah, huge long crotch, like way down.
Right.
For no reason I can tell at all. For no good reason. Let me just put this out there. There's no damn good reason to have those pants on.
There really isn't.
No. I just want to just say that. I know I'm an old
so
man
that
about this.
He can keep his own mop bucket handy to urinate in. I'm peeing in a mop bucket right now.
Check it out. Where you that now was... that I need you. Anyway. What
is
am
that
I doing?
A Bieber song?
Yeah, it is. I think okay. So. Is it?
I don't know.
It's Foreigner. I don't know. All right, anyway.
Who does the, if you want to get down on the ground.
That's Survivor?
No.
Is it Foreigner?
No.
Who is it?
That's Eric Clapton covering J.J. Cale.
Oh, it is? I only know his Things from Heaven or whatever that song is.
Oh, Tears in Heaven?
Yeah, where the kid fell out of the window or something. Isn't that what the deal was?
Yeah, that was the deal.
Okay. This has been this has been my favorite VH1 special. I've really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
It's rabbit hole.
So Kentucky clerk Kim Davis met privately with the Pope. And that's all I want to say about that. She met with the Pope, apparently. She says she
job.
Did. She said she did.
Such a pain in the ass.
Well, she claimed that he was super supportive and said, keep up the fight and be brave. Right. Some people are claiming that it never happened. The Vatican is saying no comment. So now nobody knows what's going on.
Well, he did... He did make a statement or say something on either the flight back to Italy or at another conference or something where somebody point blank asked him, like, if somebody's religious beliefs conflict with their job, should they be able to do that? Or should they be forced to do their job? And he said something like, bottom line is it's a human right for the freedom of speech or the freedom of choice. And if somebody is a human person, then they should have that right.
Yeah, I think that probably echoes kind of where I'm at. Here's what I think, Brian. If you have a job that is asking you to do something that is contrary to your religious beliefs, go get a new job.
Right, exactly.
Because there's plenty of others where you don't have to worry about that.
The best photo ever Captain Kipper just posted in the
in
the chat room.
Let's see what we got here. Let's take a look. Oh, this is the one. This is the one I posted earlier today. Oh, no, is this the one? There's one I posted earlier today that's similar to that photo.
Uh-huh.
But it's more of a side view of her with her hands up, not with this other guy on the right's hand. Her lawyer is not holding her hand, but Huckabee is.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like a Dancing with the Stars promo photo. So I put it on Twitter this morning. And
well, you're noticing what's unique about the photo you're looking at now, right?
Let me click it again. This is the Washington... Oh, this is TVZ gun. I'm looking at the wrong one.
Captain. Oh, yeah, no, look at the... The Captain Kipper one.
Oh. What is happening?
Well, it's from the Eye of the Tiger music, but...
Wait, I see just a photo. Is it just them holding hands?
It is.
But, oh, my gosh, dude. Are you kidding? I just saw it. Where's Third Eagle when you need him?
Right.
Oh, that's funny. That's also just... You know, if I were them... Wait, they removed a letter, didn't they?
They're blocking a letter. No, that's how you spell county.
Oh. I thought it was court. All right, never mind. I thought they changed it all up.
No, then the word would be Kurt.
You know, if I...
And now I've helped our listeners at home.
That's terrible.
And our audio streamers.
Holy crap. I can't believe that exists. All right. Well, anyway. And as we know, all right, so there's that. Even lamer, I wanted to share this little nugget I found.
Sure.
You know how I've made, and to some consternation, some people took me to task on this. I've made a claim on this show a number of times, and I always invoke your megachurch white dude, meth eater or meth gay man guy.
Right. I can't remember the guy's name, but
whatever his name is, that guy from Colorado. Mm-hmm. I've made it very clear on the show that I don't. The louder people are about an issue, typically the less I trust them.
Sure,
and not always.
Methinks you do protest too much. Kind of thing.
Yes, and it's the kind where it's them reaming on somebody else for something, not somebody who's feels really strongly about a thing that we all should be doing. Mm-hmm. Like that's different. But like when somebody's like, you should be, you know, the gays and the meth and they're the worst, and then go out and get a gay prostitute and have him buy you some meth. Like that's like the ultimate in hypocrisy. And it happens all the time. Guys get up and talk about the sanctity of marriage. Oh, shoot. They've caught me on Ashley Madison again. Right.
Right.
So I never trust it. It's always something always smells bad to me when this happens. We've got another good example for you here. There is a politician, New York State Republican Assemblyman, and again, I don't care what side of the aisle they're on, they both do it. Anthony Weiner's another good example.
Mm-hmm.
Also very ironic example.
Right.
Anyway, he opposed the use of medical marijuana legislation at every turn. He is big-time anti-marijuana. Hardcore, fist on the table, no marijuana ever, ever.
Right.
Charged with marijuana possession.
Whoops.
Yep. In March, it's something that happened back in March, but it just now got discovered. But he had a small bag of marijuana with him when he got pulled over. New York State trooper said that the 59-year-old assemblyman had been driving 80 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. He noticed the marijuana and took Katz into custody, charging him with possession before he was finally bailed out. He had voted against the legalization of medical marijuana back in June. Katz said that it was merely an unfortunate incident during a press conference. This should not overshadow the work I have done over the years for the public and my constituency. I am confident that once the facts are presented, this will quickly be put to rest. Except you can't really put it to rest because you had pot.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the facts have come out. You had pot. And I just wanted to lay it out there again. The more somebody protests about something, and I'm not even pro let's legalize marijuana all the time. I don't know yet. I really don't know because I don't think I have all the facts. And so far, it doesn't seem like Denver has burned to the ground. Neither has Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
But I hear about drunk driving accidents every day. So I'm still kind of, I don't know why we're so worked up about it. There's a demonization, there's a historical thing happening here that makes people automatically treat marijuana like it's the worst thing ever, even though we have harder drugs legally available for people. So I don't know why it would be such a big deal to.
Well, Scott, it's a gateway drug.
I guess so. But the louder you are and the more high powered you are and the louder you get, I just don't trust it. So mm-hmm. So what I do is spend a lot of time just waiting for people like who was the lady? It was Gore's wife, Tipper Gore. Just for the day that all of Tipper Gore's anti-nasty words and music legislation. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for the day that she's caught listening to like NWA and talking about skeezers and smoking a blunt.
Right, and Snoop. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, she's her group is responsible for us having those little labels on our CDs that say parental guidance or contains explicit content.
Yeah. So I'm afraid you're going to find her listening. What was the Two Live Crew? She's going to have Two Live Crew CD. And when somebody catches her in the car, listening to the Two Live Crew or something like that. Or, worst case, you have people like, I think of Huckabee or I don't know, whoever, like when all the stuff came out about, Limbaugh and his drugs,
mm-hmm.
his prescription drug addiction stuff, which I know a lot of people deal with and all of that. But that guy was Mr. Anti-conservative man, drug man forever on the radio. Still is, as far as I know. But then you live this other double life that seems to be an exact opposite-itude of your things you're saying. And I never trust it. So that's all I wanted to say about that guy.
Sure. That makes sense. No, yeah. It's, you know, it's something you got to keep an eye on. And of course, as soon as you see somebody being, making a big stink about something, you've got to assume, okay, they're pretty much, they're probably doing that exact thing in the privacy of their own home.
And it's unfortunate because I would like to be able to hear somebody say that and go, okay, I need to take advantage of listening to what this person has to say. Like, it kind of sours me and makes me jaded because I just don't trust anyone anymore. I mean, I trust people. But usually,
I think that secretly you speak French a lot at home, Scott.
Oh, I speak French. What else do I do? I drink like a crazy person.
No, because you're not anti-drinking.
You just I'm not.
Choose not to do it. So that's a different thing than being like anti-something.
That's a good point. If I get up and rally against something, like that guy, the dude from freaking what was it? The 19 and growing or whatever, the kid.
Duggar.
Josh Duggar guy. His deal was. That
Ashley
kind of
Madison,
case,
right?
Yeah, and it's the case I'm talking about. Well, not only that, but then there was all the molestation stuff that came out. So this guy gets up and travels around the country specifically to get up on a stage, on a pulpit, and ream out everybody for their choice of lifestyle.
Right.
And try to talk about why his is so great when he's just living this double life and totally lying to everybody. And admittedly so. So I just, all I'm saying is, what it is, it's a psychology thing. My sister would tell you. You're overcompensating. Thank you. You have all the right words today. I don't have all the right words today. You're overcompensating.
Yes.
All right. Daryl's being called. He hasn't picked up. That can't be good. But here
is. We know that Daryl, you know, as much as he talks about, his clean lifestyle, we know that he's snorting, off a hooker's.
Now I have the words coke. Bum. There you go.
There you go. Thank you.
Yep. Snorting coke off a hooker's bum. All right. Assuming we get him, it's Stump a Trekner brought to you by
That Image Guy. Please check out the one man podcast by Frog Pants favorite wrestler Joey Image, talking all things tech, pop culture, road life, wrestling, nerdy, geeky goodness, and more. Search That Image Guy on iTunes. And SoundCloud, or visit thatimageguy.com.
Sounds good to me. All right. I don't know where Daryl is. So. All right, Daryl, sorry. You're here. You're here.
I am here.
Oh, good. You sound fine. What? That was a long ring. That took like 10 minutes or something. Everything all right?
Weird.
Everything good? Yeah. I think it's your internet there.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I guess.
Yeah,
They've throttled.
Daryl's been throttled.
Daryl's internet.
Could have been. Are you on the grandfather plan for your phone?
I'm on. Well, last I knew that I had a 5 gig cap, but I've heard that has gone up now.
Oh, okay. So you are on the old unlimited plan then. You're holding on to it for dear life, it sounds like. You're one of those guys, right? You're just never going to let that thing go.
Probably.
All right. That's fine. It's fine. Just dig in. It's fine. It's totally fine. The only reason we did is because, well, I mean, you know, we fell to their tactics, which was. It was a bad deal money-wise compared to the family plan, which we finally broke down and said, all right, we'll take it. Anyway, whatever. Mobile sucks. Daryl, let's get into your life. Let's get into your world. Let's talk about Star Trek, all right? It's a Star Trek trivia time. Daryl comes on, answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek. Well, by the way, you got to the 24 episode of MASH today.
Ooh, yeah, right.
Yeah, the clock in the corner the whole
time.
The
clock in the bottom right.
Yeah. What was the deal? They had to hurry up before a guy died or something?
They had to defuse a bomb that was set to blow up the White House.
All right. That sounds good. Did Jack Bauer have to break down and waterboard somebody even though he didn't want to? Or how'd it go?
Why do all the bad things in my life happen at 59 minutes?
Exactly. That MASH episode, as I recall, was a big Emmy winner for people who wrote it.
Yeah, it was a great one.
So you liked it then. I found it, I don't know why I found it kind of tedious.
Because there was no laugh track to that one either.
No, maybe that's why. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's good.
Do you need to be told when to laugh?
You know what, I'll tell
you. People going, what?
Let me tell you something. What? This is the deal. There's some psychology here as well, where if I hear Brian, okay, when I'm on Film Sack, let's use that as an example. And let's say Brian Dunaway says something that sets Brian Ibbett off on a laugh. It makes me laugh more because Brian Ibbett's laughing. I think that's why laugh tracks exist. I'm not saying they totally work or that we haven't evolved past it. We probably have. We figured out other ways to do it. But I'm just saying that I think the thinking there was sound in that
totally. Yeah, laughter is contagious for sure. I think you're totally nailed it.
It took me like 5 minutes to explain something you said in a sentence, which is laughter is contagious. You just nailed it. This is going to be a problem all day today, I can tell.
Well, I'm using actual letters from the...
What does it depend on?
Depends on the kind of laugh. Okay. Does the Tigger laugh? That doesn't make me laugh.
That makes me laugh.
So this doesn't... Well, this makes us laugh all the time. We like that. Yeah, I don't know. There's something to it. Like, even the Flintstones had a laugh track, which makes no sense at all to have a cartoon with a laugh track.
I know.
It's the stupidest
thing. I think
it even
had the same one as MASH.
Yeah. And didn't, actually, you may be right. Didn't Scooby-Doo also had that too, right? Didn't it?
Yeah.
That's terrible. What the hell is going on here?
What in the hell is going on out there?
All right, let's move on.
Hey, Rizzo,
jeez. Calm down. We'll get to your question. In the Next Generation episode, the Icarus Factor, the Enterprise, or as he wrote, Enter-Eyes, is having some minor problems with the readouts in engineering. They are heading to a starbase to get this looked at and hopefully fixed. What starbase are they heading to? Is it A, Starbase Earhart? Is it B, Starbase Montgomery? Is it C, Starbase 39 Sierra, or D, Starbase G6? Yeah, G6.
Like a G6?
Like a G6. I hate that song. Anyway, Starbase G6. Those are your options.
My grandfather drove a 39 Sierra.
Oh, yeah? Nice little convertible there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Speaking of which, do you see that Lexus Model X or whatever the heck it's called today?
No.
Did you see that? Oh my! Or not Lexus. Tesla.
Oh, Tesla. No, I didn't see that one.
The new Tesla, dude. Oh my gosh.
Let me pull it up here.
It's beautimous. Absolutely beautiful car.
Ooh.
You see that?
Nice.
Look at that. Well, those doors open up that one way.
Up sideways like a DeLorean.
Yeah.
Doc, you're trying to tell me you put a electric engine in a Lexus? You're telling me this is going to cost me $500,000?
I can only
drive 200 miles before I have to recharge it.
Actually, isn't the deal that they're cheaper? This Model X is supposed to be... hold on, let's see. News. How much is Tesla Model X? Doesn't say. No one's... Well, that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. Let's try cost here. It'll cost you about $133,000.
Whoa.
We've all got that just sitting around, don't we?
Sure, yeah.
Whew. All right.
It pays for itself in a couple hundred years.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Finally, Scott got in. It took me an extra week, and I don't know why.
That's what she said.
Scott had delivered to him a drink from Matt Brown, who had sent this in. This is called Cafola, the original Cafola. I'll read his little email. It says, Cafola originated in the Czechoslovakian... pharmaceutical company, Galena, in 1959 during research targeted at finding a possible use for surplus caffeine produced in the process of coffee roasting. Cofola became exceedingly popular in the communist Czechoslovakia, because it substituted for Western cola drinks like Coca-Cola or Pepsi. It was basically, you know, comrade cola, which was not generally available. It now comes in multiple flavors like cherry, lemon, and cinnamon. My own thoughts, it tastes better cold and way better from draft. What does that mean?
Like instead of in a bottle, but like out of a keg.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
A Cafola in a keg.
Enjoy and don't give this to a hobo. The Czech people love this soda. What does that mean? Give
it to a hobo. Well, he's doing the don't, you know, love the show though.
Oh, enjoy and don't give this to a hobo. Anyway, thanks, Matt. I'm nervous.
I noticed something weird about the bottle.
What?
There's a sperm imprinted on it.
What?
What? Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, down there.
Wait a minute.
Wait, I have a hot dog and a pig.
Oh, what? We have different things.
Where are you looking?
I have a heart with wings and
like a leaf below that.
No, no, imprinted on the actual plastic bottle.
Oh, I have a butterfly and a flower.
Whoa, so we all got different things.
Yeah. You
glad I got the wiener and pig.
I got.
It would have been great. Well, never mind.
Well, yeah, it would have been better together. All right. Well, that's fine. That's interesting, though, right? I guess they randomized these or something.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Okay. Well, let's.
Picture of mine.
Fofola.
Let's open this up here.
Oh, did you notice one side says Fofola and the other side says Cofola?
Mine say Kofola on both sides.
Really?
Mine has different like that, yeah.
Yeah, Fofola and Kofola.
Let me just make sure I'm looking at the right thing. Kofola original, right below the heart thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I turn it around, Kofola the original.
Weird. Okay, yeah, mine says, I'm holding up to the camera there, mine says Fofola on one side.
Oh, it's scary now because it's all weird. And it's written in, what's the language, what's the native tongue there? Because all this, I can't read any of this.
Czech?
Czech? Is that a language? I don't know. Is it? Or is it this?
Czechoslovakian?
Yeah, what do the Czechs say? Here, let's find out.
What do the Czechs say?
Google.com. I'm going to ask Google. Here we go. Oh, whoops. What do the Czechs speak in?
According to Czech tourism, Czech is spoken by roughly 96% of the population. You will also frequently hear Slovak, Polish, and Romani. You can usually make yourself understood in English, German, and Russian.
Okay, so Czech is a spoken language. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I don't know why I didn't know that.
Yep.
Thanks, Google. All right, let's open it.
But it's good that you had to check.
Yeah, just, well, you know.
Ooh.
Oh, that's fizzy.
Apparently so.
Oh, now I'll open the bottle.
Wow.
All right. So this is supposed to be... Ooh, geez. This is supposed to be highly caffeinated? Ooh, mine, it smells weird.
Mine doesn't have any... Mine did not do any fizzy.
Well, that's not good.
Yours mine just did a little...
Flat from over the sea. That was my.
That does smell.
Oh, it smells. I think it smells good.
Yeah, mine smells good.
What does yours smell like? Because mine smells like chemicals. Like the back
like
of
a,
like the
Dr.
back.
Dr. Pepper, a little more floral than a Dr. Pepper.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm getting. A floral. It smells like the back of my dentist's hand.
Hints of Fofola. Hints of pork and wiener.
There's no hint of what's on my bottle.
No, there's not.
I hope not.
That's good. All right, let's
not a hint.
There we go. Oh, yeah, I don't like that at all. I find it's, that horrifying. I don't like that at all.
Crushed flowers.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no, the aftertaste is not good.
No, it's like, yeah, I don't like that. Do you ever have a kid throw dirt in your face and you're a kid and you accidentally eat a big handful of it?
I think it tastes like that.
Boof. I don't like
it. I wonder why mine wasn't fizzy.
I don't know. Is it not fizzy at all?
Mm-mm.
Like super flat? Weird.
Yeah, mine is too. Maybe that's what Fofola means.
Well, I shouldn't say mine's super fizzy. It's a little fizzy.
Oh, maybe a little fizzy. Okay.
Yeah, it's not like super hardcore. Like, hear me try it again.
Yeah, it's not horrible.
Oh, I think
it tastes like a watered down... it doesn't have as strong a flavor as American sodas.
Ugh, I don't like it. I really don't like it. I'm having a thick and liquid moment like you would have.
If I just keep drinking it and don't wait for the aftertaste, it'll probably be really good.
Eventually, it'll be gone.
But the aftertaste is, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. All right. Now we'll move on to what? Daryl, tell us, is there one of these today in Star Trek history?
Well, there is, and it's from 1991. Today was the first time TNG's Darmok aired.
Oh, when the walls fell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good time. That's a fine episode. Good episode. Mm-hmm. Marked another time when that actor died on Star Trek. He always dies. Died in Wrath of Khan, died in that. Spoilers.
He's just unlucky. Yes. He's unlucky at Trek.
Yeah. Sorry, spoilers, Mike, or whatever your name was earlier. That guy dies. I think that actor died too. He's a cool actor, that guy.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting roles in his lifetime. Anyway, all right. Well, good stuff there. Daryl, let's get back to your deal here. Your commercial, your question. Earhart, Montgomery, 39 Sierra, or G6? Which of those is the correct starbase featured in the Icarus Factor?
Oh, let's see. I don't really remember this.
The whole episode?
I don't even remember this episode.
I don't either.
Probably
some reference to flying too close to the sun or something. The whole Icarus thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Enterprise is
That's
made
how you
of.
Get out of a maze.
Yeah. The Enterprise is made of wax. Or something like that. That's something Q would do, right?
And now you're driving too close to the sun. What are you going to do, Picard?
Yeah, Mon Capitaine, I've turned the ship into wax. What are you going to do now? Gene Luck Pickard.
So So when you first called, you were talking about what my opposite thing was, that I rail against something, and
right.
so I must
yes.
be
yes.
doing
Yes, what
the
do you
opposite.
Rail against?
Yeah.
Other than daylight savings time.
Well, yeah, there's that for sure. Yeah.
We have that audio.
I don't know. What do I rail against?
You rail against a lot of things. You just
everything.
Need to, yeah, you just need to pick one. You need to pick one out of the batch.
I'm against bad 3D.
Bad.
Oh, shaky cam.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shaky cam.
Ugh. Shaky cam and bad 3D.
There we go. So now we know Daryl secretly
so,
loves
so what Daryl,
shaky cam.
Yeah, so let me translate what that means. Shaky cam and then all 3D. Because if he doesn't like bad 3D, then he hates all 3D. Because 3D sucks. All right.
I like good 3D, though.
Name one.
The stuff I make.
Anything Pixar.
Anything Pixar, yes.
Okay. All right.
Pixar does 3D really great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because they can. They got the computers there.
They're not limited by their cameras mm-hmm. and whatnot.
They have people that know how to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's really, in the end, all you need. People that know how to do it.
People who need people.
To know how to do it. All right, Daryl?
Okay, back to this.
Yeah,
I'm
back to this.
Anymore.
Yeah, that's all right. We can always fool around.
G6, that's that song. Why do you throw that in there?
I know.
That's to go with his homie.
You know, it's his homie. Business.
Yeah. I hate that song.
Yeah,
I really do.
I'm crossing that out. But he put these two numbers in here. Why did he do that?
Yeah, the 39 Sierra.
Hey, if you ever wonder what like a G6 means, at an LA
is it
rap.
A bra size?
Well, at an LA event or something, speaking to MTV, Kev Nish is the person, I guess, who made this song, right? No, songwriter David Camp of Benjamin. Well, anyway, it says this. A G6 is not a Gatorade flavor. It's not a car, convertible, four-door, and it's not a watch. Turns out, it's a plane. Drake talks about having G4 pilots on deck, and we said that what's a flyer for, or what's flyer than a G4? Of course, it would be a G6, Nish told MTV. Yo, yo! All right, it's a plane.
Here you go.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, I'm crossing out. I think I'm going to cross out both number ones, and so it's between Montgomery and Earhart. And let's see. I think James Doohan has a son named Montgomery.
Well, his name is
his
Montgomery.
Name on the show is Montgomery too.
Yeah, Montgomery Scott. Mm-hmm. His last name's Scott.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why he named his son.
Probably
Montgomery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to choose that one.
You're going to say Montgomery? All right, well, let's find
out. Montgomery.
Is it Montgomery?
Television highlights.
Dang it. Hold on.
Never know.
This one. Sorry. It was terrible. All right.
Congratulations.
Yeah, totally got it.
You're a winner.
They're headed to Starbase Montgomery. Riker's father comes aboard the ship in this episode and sent to brief Commander Riker on taking command of the USS Ares. Riker turns down the position or the promotion. Here's a clip of all that.
These mission details could have been transmitted. I've been hearing some good things about you. And why haven't I heard from you? I know, keeping in touch is not my strong suit. It's a funny thing about being a parent. There aren't any tech manuals. No quick readouts to get you through the next set of variables. You just gotta wing it from day to day.
No, you don't. You can call your son.
I don't know what to do here. Do I call him or do I ignore him? I don't know.
I'm just gonna have to wing it. I don't know what to do. That's terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, you did it. Good job. You did it. That's what's that from? Oh, Dora the Explorer. All right. Anyway, that came rushing back. Daryl's the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can find him there. You can find him also at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. And now, play a game with us. Hello?
Star Trek thing? Oh, am I not here?
Yeah, you're fine. You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. Star Trek thing or actual plastic?
Okay.
Star Trek thing or actual plastic?
Star Trek thing or actual plastic.
Okay.
All right, here's... I'm trying to find a word with the word thing in it. Or thing. Okay, here we go. Nope. How about this?
We bring you Philco's little hobgoblin with eyes of blue and a pumpkin, too.
All right, there you go. I don't know what that was. All right, sorry. It was... What the hell was it again? I already forgot.
Plastic or Star Trek?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Trilithium resin.
Trilithium?
trilithium resin.
Tri, that means three lithiums.
Uh-huh.
Lithium is a thing.
It is a real thing. It's an element on the periodic table of the elements.
Yep. It's also a widely used treatment for those with severe bipolar disease.
It's also a song by Nirvana.
Yeah. It's also... it sounds like tri... What's the crystals? Oh, dilithium.
Dilithium.
Yeah.
That might be why he's trying to mess with us.
Yeah. I'm leaning toward plastic.
Yeah, actual plastic? Yeah. Let's say actual plastic.
All right, we say actual plastic, Daryl. How'd we do?
Well, if you were going to make pop bottles out of this whatever this is. Oh, never mind. That didn't work. It's a warp drive byproduct. It's from Star Trek.
Oh, really?
I love when he tries to do one of those and then just fumbles all over himself. Those really are my favorite moments.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
All right, the Wednesday news is brought to you by...
On November 7th, I'll be running a 24-hour gaming marathon to help sick kids. My team with Extra Life is raising funds for the local children's hospital. If I raise my goal, I'll bring over 100 games to N16. Go visit tinyurl.com/nerfsickness for info. Love the kids, though.
All righty. Well, yeah, this is that he's bald like you.
Him? Okay, then I must know him.
Yeah, I think you do. Well, no, all the bald people know each other, right?
We meet at the conventions every year.
Sure, the bald guy convention. He's the one that brought up just stacks and stacks of games. Or that is to say, the one with the giant stack that wasn't...
Cryptozoic.
Cryptozoic, right.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's some news for you. You like Back to the Future, right?
I do. Marty!
No, good. You're a big fan of Doc Brown. That's good. Because there is a Back to the Future short film in our future.
What?
Yeah, and they're not remaking it. They're just going to make a little short film. Christopher Lloyd is reprising his iconic role for the new journey in the teaser of an upcoming short titled Doc Brown Saves the World. The short will be included in the Back to the Future trilogy Blu-ray and DVD 30th anniversary release, which I am going to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
I've never owned those. I always just catch them on rentals or something. And so
I had the DVD, and I think I've already got a Blu-ray set.
Oh, dang it. Really? Well, then you're fine. Yeah. You got what you need. You just won't get the... You can get this
online. I just
won't
get the short.
Yeah, you'll get it online. It's fine.
Yeah, well, exactly.
In this sneak peek, which you can see above, Doc Brown is seen stepping out of his DeLorean into an all-white room where he fiddles with a device. I hope that doesn't mean what it
means. Euphemism.
Yep. What's the good Doc up to? We have to wait to find out. Why don't we play this little thing?
Oh, cool. Okay.
Why not? Won't hurt anybody to play this, right? So this is a little teaser. It's not the actual short. Here we go. I don't know how loud it is. I don't know how loud. Yeah, there's the sound of the car. Okay, here he is. It's only a few, like 30 seconds is all here. Oh, the music, the DeLorean opens it, Doc Brown's feet, future shoes.
Nice.
He finally looks old. Okay. Oh, wow. He really is old.
Wow.
Well, that was it. To be continued, it says. Okay.
So, when's this supposed to take place? Because the DeLorean got destroyed at the end of Back to the Future 3, because he was driving the train with his son, Jules, and Vern.
And the kid grabbed his wiener, remember?
And the kid grabbed his wiener.
Yeah.
He's pointing at it.
Good point. They'll have to explain that. But he finally looks old as he should have looked in the original Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. I'm excited to see whatever that's about and get that set. And watch it with my kids.
Sure.
Mad Max is a thing that I love and is rad. And if I want to make that more part of my life, well, now there's a Mad Max Wasteland real life thing I could go to.
Are they just renaming Burning Man? Because isn't that basically it?
That's what I was kind of thinking when I saw the photos. I was like, this just looks like Burning Man with better accurate cosplay or something.
Oh, totally looks like. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, there was a somebody sent me photos of Burning Man from a few years ago. Where they actually had a Thunderdome.
Oh, no way, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I think Burning Man kind of has a lot of connectivity to the Mad Max mythos, so why not? But this is going to be specific to Mad Max and that whole world. Thousands of cosplayers mounted atop muscle cars and monster trucks that would make Mad Max proud came together in the Southern California desert to celebrate the Wasteland Weekend, the annual party imagines a future where civilization as we know it has collapsed. The festival sees attendees abandoned in the harsh Mojave Desert without modern-day amenities such as electricity or running water. I wonder what the toilet situation's like at this thing.
Ugh.
It's probably the worst, dude.
Yeah. God, yeah.
The festival, accessible only to adults, features topless dancers, fire-breathing stuntmen, and performers who fight it out in life-size reconstructions of the Thunderdome from the third Mad Max movie. The festival is now the biggest post-apocalyptic themed festival in the world, and this year is being the biggest event to date with 2,500 festival goers, probably because that movie did so much damage. Mm-hmm. So there
it did
you go.
Bunkers.
Yeah, it did real well. Would you ever go to a thing like this? I think my time for this has passed. I would have gone in my 20s or something.
I would, I'd go for a day. I would not stay there. Like, I'd go just to check it out and take some pictures and stuff. But,
yeah. I'd pay you to show up dressed like totally. You'd be great for this, by the way, because half the people in those movies are bald.
Mm-hmm.
So just go out there, wrap something weird around your eye, be kind of naked.
A bird skeleton back above the top of my head.
Big fake Sharpie tattoo on your back, like right? Cargo pants, you know, combat boots and that kind of stuff. And I want you just to walk in there and yell, "Who runs Bartertown?" And then run out. That'd be amazing. It'd be amazing.
How come nobody's done a great, at least I haven't seen, a great Master Blaster cosplay where you know, your head is Master, but your body is Blaster, right? Like where it's done to look like you've got a little dude on the top of your head,
And not just an actual little dude, but
right.
Sure, that makes sense. Let's see. I may have just found one. But the person on his back is a doll. So
yeah, they've got
count.
A bunch with a doll.
There's a doll one.
There's one with the baby. The Master was a baby.
I don't see any others.
No.
Whoa, that's a cool Luke one. They have a Luke one.
Oh, yeah, with Yoda on his back.
I don't know why that's showing up here, but we'll take it.
Because it's the Empire Strikes Back version of Master Blaster.
Yeah, he runs Bada Town.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that looks fun. I would like to see high-res video of that, but I don't want to go. A guy mistakes a plane exit for a restroom door. Now, we've all done this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, who hasn't? Yeah. Come on.
You see that exit door, exit only door, and you think,
right,
oh, that must
exactly.
be.
You think, oh, yeah, there's a little tiny circular window that looks into the bathroom.
Yeah, and the bathroom looks like a sky with clouds.
Right. It needs two hands to open the door, of course. Yeah, that's sure. It
says emergencies only while in flight, things like that. Well, anyway, guy tried to open it mid-flight. He has been arrested and fined $671, or the equivalent of, after confusing a plane door with a toilet door during a flight from Edinburgh to Amsterdam. I've got to open this door before I pee my pants. James Gray has been given a 5-year ban from flying with the airline KLM. Sounds like an industrial punk band.
Right. Well, it's, plus you've got three letters that are sequential in the, what's the word I'm looking for?
The acronym, the initialism, the...
No. Like, you know, it's three letters that are sequential, you know, A, B, C, D. What is that called?
Oh, I don't know. Is that a thing? Is that has a word for it? I don't know.
Well, those letters, all those letters together.
I don't know. Sequential?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
In order? Sequential? After each other? Probability clause? I don't know. I really don't know what that's called.
All right.
I don't know that is there a term for that? Someone in the chat room.
Well, yeah. I mean, all 26 letters.
Alphabetical. Alphabetical.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. Alphabet. Yes.
Alphabetical. There we go. Anyway, after attempting to open the plane door mid-flight, as soon as the flight landed in Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam. Schiphol. Is it Schiphol?
I don't know. It could. Yeah, Schiphol.
Okay.
Sure.
That's the opposite of alphabetical. Gray was placed in detention center or sentry overnight because this is made somewhere else. Overnight before receiving his fine, he didn't realize he was banned from the airline until he attempted to fly back home and the staff refused to let him get on the plane. Was he drunk or something? Like, we don't know enough about this guy.
He would have to be, right? I mean, how do you...
Yeah.
How do you mistake those two things for... one for the other.
Brian, if you're old enough to wear the big boy pants, you're old enough to know the difference between a plane door and a bathroom door.
Right. Yes, so exactly.
The guy is, it's on him. Finally, NASA apparently leaked the information about water being on Mars months ago.
Really? So they've been holding on to this information.
Mm-hmm. And they leaked it only to Ridley Scott, the director of this weekend's opening Martian film. Over the past 48 hours or so, a new breed of conspiracy theorists was born in response to NASA's historic announcement of actual water on Mars for the purposes of readability. This will not be a discussion on the growing number of Republicans currently disparaging NASA's announcement as a so-called leftist propaganda. It's actually happening. I can't believe that's freaking happening. Anyway, you know what? Listen, I know we have some listeners who consider themselves in the far side of the aisle, on the right side. Could you guys explain that to me? Can someone send me an email and explain to me why that's being seen as a leftist piece of propaganda that there is actual water on Mars? I don't get it. I really don't get it. I'm not trying to be naive here. I don't understand the connection. And it can't just be, well, Rush Limbaugh said that. Well, okay, if we're basing it on that, well, then F off. But I'm just saying, is there something, somebody is pointing to hard stuff here? And I don't mean some great conspiracy where it's 9/11 was an inside job. Chemtrails are everywhere. Not like that. I want like real info.
Right.
Email me in and tell me. Email me in is what I said.
Email me in.
Yeah. Anyway, sure. Americans, let's see, they gave director Ridley Scott the new Matt Damon vehicle's director some big info, and they said, hey, check it out. There's water on Mars, and you should play with that idea. So I don't know if that makes it into the film or not. That'd be really interesting, wouldn't it? It
certainly hasn't been in the book so far. I'm about 2/3 of the way through the book.
Yeah, so good, isn't it?
It is really good, yeah. I freaking love it. And, you know, it's one of those things where, all right, I think I know where this book is going. I know I can figure out that how this is going to go. And how is there so much of this book still left? And oh my God, okay, well that changes things dramatically.
Yeah, exactly. By the way.
And they've already seen it, right? The people on the International Space Station got to see it early.
The movie, yeah, it already premiered there, I think.
Yeah.
So they could make some late edits to it, I suppose. But if he knew 8 months ago, that it's probably already in there. I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I don't know how it would change things.
It probably shouldn't. I'm trying to remember. Like, he's not going to travel up to the peaks and get some running water to survive in that book.
No.
Which is where that water is supposedly at.
He's got a reclamation device anyway. So that's not a spoiler, people. Yeah. That's, it's standard operating procedure for astronauts.
Here's what My Heart Furts says about this issue. It says it boils down to Republicans wanting to cut NASA's budget by claiming it's fake leftist news. That it's fake leftist news, and it will and the popularity will decrease, and they will continue to plan to cut NASA funding. So he thinks it's that sounds conspiratorial to me. It's got to be something else. Some religious folk misinterpret the Bible, saying the heavens are for God and the earth was only for man, and only the planet can be inhabited by man is Earth. Liquid water on Mars is viewed as making Mars inhabitable by man and thus making Earth less special. Is that the reason?
Must be.
F that. I need a real, you know what? Someone email me a real reason.
If we could live on Mars, then there can't be a God. That's proof right there.
Right there. I love the accent.
And gays can get married, Kim.
You know how many right-wing listeners are taking everything I'm saying right now as anti-right-wing? I really don't care. By the way, I just jog your memory. I threw Tipper Gore under the bus earlier today. Mm-hmm. You're going to conveniently forget that, aren't you? So just email it in. Let's talk about it. Anyway.
Right.
What are we doing now? Yeah, Mars is gay, Schnago. Mars is gay. That's the bottom line. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's recommendals time. Then it's Tom's tech time. Then it's some emails. Before all of that, Brian will play music.
Yes. Melissa wrote in, said, good morning, Scott and Brian. Insert clever names here. I'm getting hitched on October 24th to the love of my life. Oh. We owe our love to Blizzard after literally randomly finding each other on a 5-man instance back in Cataclysm. Everything is set for the big day, but Brian, we're in need of a first dance song. It's less than a month away. And if you can play one for us on a Tuesday before, then that would be wonderful. Here is your quest, should you choose to accept. Use your amazing talents to find something in the middle. He loves old jazz in the 90s, like Casey and JoJo, and I'm looking for something more modern, like Ed Sheeran or Sarah Bareilles. Note to my fiancé, after taking a portal across the country to start our lives together a couple of years ago, I am more excited than ever to not only have an amazing wedding, but also a lifelong marriage. You will forever be my healer, guildmate, lover, and friend. I cannot wait to unlock more achieves with you. Thank you both for the amazing work you do. Love that groom, though, Melissa.
All right.
All right. This was tricky, right? Because he had to find something that combined either 90s Casey and JoJo or old jazz with something kind of in the modern modern songstress style, like Ed Sheeran, Sarah Bareilles, Ingrid Michaelson. I decided to go with A Fine Frenzy. And this is one, you know, when you're looking for, when you're on Apple Radio and you're looking for something similar, imagine the same thing with Pandora or Spotify, saying, all right, you know, let me start with Sarah Bareilles and start listening to other singers. Ingrid Michaelson came up, Feist came up, and so did A Fine Frenzy. And I remember that I had in my collection A Fine Frenzy cover of the old classic by Dean Martin, The Things We Did Last Summer.
Mm.
And just the fact that the title seems to be perfect for right now, right? Because it's fall, Things We Did Last Summer, kind of looking back on having a wonderful summer, and I'm sure these two are as well. So here is the band A Fine Frenzy from a single from 2009 covering The Things We Did Last Summer.
Sounds good. We'll be right back.
The boat rides we would take, the moonlight on the lake, the way we danced and hummed our favorite songs, the things we did last summer. Cupid dolls we won, the bell I rang to prove that I was wrong, the things we did last summer, I'll remember all winter long, the early that we used to have. We never could explain that sudden summer rain, the looks we got when we got back. The leaves began to fade like promises we made. How could a love that seems so right go wrong? The things we did last summer, I'll remember all winter long. So to forget, at times I do, and yet the memory of you lingers like a song. The things we did last summer, I'll remember.
Terminix. I found this beam crumbling in the basement. I think it's termites. You can almost hear them inside the wood. They're going, my wife can explain it. Yeah. See, like that. They're wrecking the place.
If the thought of termites is bugging you, call Terminix. We'll keep your entire home safe from any termite damage. And we guarantee it.
They're gone. No more.
Terminix. No more bugs. No more worries.
If you're sick of being sick...
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
And a caveman.
All right, we're back. Isn't that great?
If you're sick of being sick.
Was not expecting that. That seems to work everywhere, right? Yeah. I'm 72.
I don't know why it's so funny to me. I'm 12 inside. I can't help it.
If you're sick of being sick.
Oh, that's so good.
It's the fartpocalypse.
Fartpocalypse. I like that.
Yes.
All right. What's going on,
everyone? You don't get natural disasters a lot in Utah, right?
Let's do this. A list of natural disasters I get in Utah.
Okay.
Flash floods.
Yeah, right. You had some last month or this month,
yep,
right?
Yep. Flooding when we've had too much snow. Mm-hmm. In the winter, and then the spring we have runoff that's too much, and we've had some pretty serious flooding things in the past. 83 was the worst I ever got. Mm-hmm. I was a kid and I remember sandbags everywhere. It was pretty crazy. There's a river running down Main Street, Salt Lake City. It was crazy. We never get tornadoes, and we are on a major fault called the Wasatch Fault, but it's never gone bad.
Don't get earthquakes, like even little tremors.
We get little tremors here and there occasionally. But never anything like California gets. Now, but they say it has the potential of, what is it, the San Andreas Fault? That's the big one in California?
Yeah, that's the big one, San Andreas.
Yeah, they say the Wasatch Fault has potential to be worse than that ever could be if it ever slips hard enough. So we're in a place where people think we're screwed one day. I mean, there's a lot of like people who think in apocalyptic ways and think we're all going to die, but but I'm not one of them.
Yeah, we get the flash floods here. Yep. Same kind of thing, right? You know, the occasional light tremory thing. Mm-hmm. We do get tornadoes because we have a lot of trailer parks.
is that the common denominator?
That's the catalyst. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right?
People think it's a weather thing. No, it's actually it's trailer parks.
That's really funny. We've only had one that I know of. We get little dirt devils and things, we call them, like out in the southern Utah in the deserts and stuff, where they're like small tornado-y looking things, but they're really harmless. The only thing we ever had that was a tornado that was did any damage at all, it was this very brief, strange, anomalous thing that happened right downtown. A tornado big enough to slam into a side of a building and break some windows formed and then dissipated, and it's never happened before or since on record. So there's probably some conspiracy theories about that too. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, yeah,
by the way, I now get a Jimmy John's gift certificate from Cleo because I made you say the words cocaine, alphabet, and tornado.
What? That was a goal today?
Whenever you step away. So when you start the show and then you step away to go pee or go get a drink of water, sometimes the tadpole gives me three words to make you say during the show, to steer you into saying.
That's amazing.
And I can't just put words in the show notes. I can't.
You're really good at getting out of me because you didn't like say, no, what's that thing called when it touches the ground?
I did with the stupid alphabet thing. That took forever.
Yeah, that did take forever.
What's that thing called that begins with A, B, C, D, E, F, G?
Yeah. See,
people are yelling at us.
People who are working on the
audio think we're a couple of idiots.
So here's what I think. I think that now I'm going to be paranoid every episode.
I know. Anytime I have some sort of weird non sequitur, you're going to be like, all right, is Brian trying to get me to say the word whiskey?
Yeah. And then I'll find out you weren't. And we'll burn 10 minutes talking about a thing that we didn't need to. It'll be great. It'll be great. All right.
That was a good topic anyway, the natural disasters.
And fires. We get fires a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, again, you and us both in the mountains, man. Yeah. We had, again, a bad summer when it came to...
Not this year for us. Our year was maybe the best we've had on record. I don't know why we had so many.
I thought we were getting tons of smoke from you guys.
No, that was Idaho.
Like, we had one fire, and the rest were in Utah, and we were getting all your smoke.
No, there was some sun. We had a couple, but they weren't anything big. The whole valley was blanketed with smoke for weeks, and it was all these Idaho fires. They were just pummeling us with that smoke up there. But I don't think that was us. We never had any that threatened any anything other than some really outlying areas, and they were contained and not that big a deal. But some years, like Nerdtacular 2012, was maybe one of the worst on record, and we almost died in that thing. That was awful.
That was scary, yeah.
Yeah,
Fox lights too.
Yeah.
As we know from Snowbird.
This is true. Okay, it is time for us to play a little fun here with each other, which is this. Nicole is still on leave. She has had a little baby girl, and they just got home with her, and we're not making her come out here and do recommendals. So we're going to do our own version of recommendals today. I'm going to start because I still have to prep your file, and I'll do that while I'm playing it.
Okay.
But I'm gonna play everybody a clip from something I've been watching on streaming services. That's what Recommendals is, recommending things we find on, you know, Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, wherever. Mm-hmm. HBO Now, or is it Go? No, it's Now.
HBO Now. Well, there's also an HBO Go. If you have HBO, you can get HBO Go.
You have Go because you have HBO. Go. And I have Now because I don't have HBO.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So here's mine. See if you probably guess what this is easily, but my daughter and I have been way back into this, and it's on Hulu, and here's the clip.
Please forgive me. I thought you were...
Small time?
Well, no,
Ah, so now Mr. Goody Two-Sandals feels like talking, eh?
Please, understand. I have spent my lifetime preparing to come face to face with Aku. Fulfilling this goal would forever change my life.
Okay, boy, we'll give you a shot. But you gotta pass a little test first, see? Yeah.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Yeah. So that's...
Is that Samurai Jack?
It is Samurai Jack.
Nice.
So there's been rumors. The reason this kind of came up, there's two reasons. One, we've been watching it. And two, there's been rumors that Genndy Tartakovsky is working on some sort of return for Samurai Jack, whether that's finally the film that was promised so long ago or another TV adaptation or something's happening. Maybe it's just a special. Nobody knows. But he's dropped some hints that people should be on the lookout for some sort of announcement regarding Samurai Jack. One of the coolest, most innovative, interesting animated shows ever made.
It's cool. Yeah, it's really cool animation, too, for sure.
Yeah, it's just neat. There's something he did there that nobody else has quite been able to match. He brought a cinematic quality and an artistic quality to otherwise not... I mean, it's not like fancy animation. There's nothing here that's super expensive or anything. Right. But the sound work, their willingness to be quiet for a while... kind of unheard of in a kid's cartoon. Like most kids, they need constant chatter and you know, comedy or whatever. And this show provided many episodes where there were huge chunks of time where it was just him out in the middle of nowhere with no dialogue and stuff happening. Lots of action sometimes, but sometimes it's just quiet, you know, on a bridge, walking slowly. Like it's a very, very... I think risky thing and ended up being totally worth the risk. It's a fantastic show.
That's cool. I've never seen an episode of Samurai Jack, so I'm adding that to my list.
Yeah, it's super awesome. You really should. I think you would. I think you'd totally dig that now that I think about it.
Oh, I'm sure I would.
And it feels adult in so many ways without being adult. That's hard to explain what I even mean with that. But it's like, I don't know. There's a quality to it. Like it clearly comes from people who like samurai culture / the kind of, you know, the kind of ideas they explore here feel very adult without it ever being a thing a kid can't watch.
That's cool.
It's awesome. It's so
cool. I love that combination.
If you don't like it, I'll be shocked. I think you're going to love it. And if you've never seen it, you totally should watch that. So that's mine.
Cool.
And I talked so much about it,
Did you forget to edit my...
Yeah, it's okay. I'll pull it up. This is easy.
Okay. It's a short one, too.
I'll just run it. How about that? Let's run it.
Just run it.
Okay, it's over here in the TMS covers, recommendal clips, and here it is. I'm going to play it. Are you ready? Any setup?
No setup.
All right, here we go.
Gina.
Sorry, I was playing Quasi Cupcakes.
Crazy Cupcakes?
Quasi with a W, a backwards W.
No such thing as a backwards W.
Yeah, there is.
Weird. I have no idea what that is.
That's Andre Brower and Chelsea Peretti in what I'm thinking is one of the greatest current ensemble comedies. I mean, Modern Family's great. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. This I like just as much. It's Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I still haven't seen that show at all.
You need to see it. And it's all on Hulu. The first two seasons, you will binge watch. You know, you'll start watching this thing. You'll binge watch it. And what's great is if you don't care for Andy Samberg at all, he's not as prominent. I mean, he's the first name that comes up in the credits. So, I mean, he's considered the star of this, but it's such an ensemble comedy. Chelsea Peretti is hilarious. Dude from the State, is really funny. Melissa Fumero, who plays, Amy, you know, and everybody's got these,
it's got Terry Crews in there. Yeah.
It's got Terry Crews is fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got, Kevin Bacon's wife. What's her face? I'm not trying to get you to say her name. I can't remember her name right now.
I can't remember it either. So we both win, I guess.
Anyway, it's really, really good. And yeah, you can watch the whole thing on Hulu.
Yeah.
And imagine if you pay the extra $4, you don't have to see any commercials in it.
Yeah.
And the season premiere of season 3 just started on Sunday. So Kyra Sedgwick. Yes, thank you, Edie.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, Kyra Sedgwick.
Kyra.
Married to your guy there.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, yeah.
The Bacon Man.
The Bacon Man. Wait, she was previously on that TNT show where she was a lawyer or something.
The Closer? No, the closer, right?
Yeah, The Closer.
Yeah.
She would just run around and close things. It was great.
Yes. Why are you leaving that door open?
Close that.
Exactly. Were you born in a barn? That was her trademark phrase.
And then,
what, were you born in a barn?
Yep. And then the Who would play? What?
No, that was on the sister show, The Closer Miami.
I'm glad other shows don't do that as much as they do it. I know all these, like, CSI and, you know, NYPD. What's the one with the one with Mark Harmon in it? It looks like my mom now.
NCIS.
NCIS. Yeah, they have, like, multiple. Oh, and now they get that cyber CSI, which I hear is terrible.
Oh, it is horrible. Yeah.
We just
finally watch the finale, the CSI finale, which aired. That also might have aired Sunday. We watched it last night.
Mm.
And William Peterson came back. Marg Helgenberger came back.
Yeah, how convenient.
It was a big reunion. Like a couple of their cases even came back.
Yeah. Did that one guy, that African-American actor, I don't remember his name, who got in all the trouble? He was in
No,
a
he
of,
died.
Oh, he died. Did the character died or the actual
the
guy?
The character died.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the actress
Detective
still
Brown, I think.
Yeah, he got in
That's
trouble.
That's not racist.
He did. Was it really Detective Brown?
It was Detective Brown.
Oh,
yeah.
Crap. Anyway, did my favorite part of that finale is when Sam Malone looked through the window at his bar and was sad.
He said, "I think I'm gonna open a bar."
Yeah, it was a really sad moment there. Anyway, there's your recommendals. Go check them out. Oh, where was that Hulu you said for yours, right?
Hulu. Yeah, you can watch the whole thing on Hulu.
Yeah,
so you should.
A reminder that Hulu, I know we're talking a lot of happy about Hulu lately. It's because that service went from the thing I hated to the thing I love. When they got rid of those commercials and let me have a tier that I could pay for that I think is reasonable and does not have any commercials at all, it suddenly becomes, it's become the thing we're watching almost more than any other service right now.
Right.
And it was overnight.
That's great. Yeah. Very cool.
I think they did the right thing there. I hope they did. I hope this means Hulu's making money now and it's smart for them business-wise because it sure is consumer friendly. And I really like it. So good job to them. Coverville. The first generation Power Rangers had a Black Ranger who was African American and Yellow Ranger who was. I remember that.
And I'm kidding about Work Brown being, you know, having it's being racist. You can't, you know.
It's just a joke. Yeah.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I got it. I totally got it. But you're right about the Rangers. The
that was a little bit more.
Yeah. It was a little out there, wasn't it?
Right.
Was the Blue Ranger
always sad?
The Blue Ranger was a magician in Vegas. Did performance stuff and didn't hardly say anything.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. Who?
Yeah,
Blue Man Group.
He's bald and wore paint.
Blue Man Ranger Group.
Yes, right. Now I get you.
Who is the Pink Ranger? She was the pretty girl, because girls wear pink, right?
Right. Yep. You couldn't have a dude in the Pink Ranger costume.
No, no, no. And then you had your Red Ranger. Was Red Ranger like a? He wasn't
Thorin
like.
Thorin says the Red Ranger was Native American.
Shut up.
No, no, he's kidding. I think.
I hope he's kidding. Thorin, I hope you're wrong. That would be terrible. All right. None of that matters. What matters is Tom Merritt.
Green Ranger says, hey, that can go in the recycling bin.
A single tear runs down his helmet.
Right, exactly.
And that guy was Italian. Oh, we could go on. There's things we know about this world that we really shouldn't share. All right, let's play this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is Tom Merritt. He hails from Illinois, and he's here now on the air.
Open hailing frequencies.
From Illinois.
on screen.
Are you, you have holiday plans back home? You go back home every year for Christmas and all that, or what do you
no.
do there?
No. No, we do different things, mostly on the holidays, because we're in California and Eileen's family's here. We'll do Thanksgiving up in San Jose, where her dad and sister are.
Yeah.
And then they'll come down to L.A. For Christmas.
Yeah.
This year, we're just leaving the mainland and going to Hawaii.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We're going to celebrate Christmas with the Belmonts.
I was going to say, Veronica's going the same. She told us that too. And I had no idea. It was all a big arranged deal. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's an arranged marriage.
The
of our vacations.
Yeah, the technorati really taking over the island there. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I can't wait to hear how that goes. Lots of sword and laser opportunities is my thinking. That's what you'll do on your vacation.
Yeah, right. Because that's what we'll do.
Talk about science fiction and fantasy books the whole time.
Yeah, we won't relax.
No, take some time off. Well, anyway, it's Tom Merritt, everybody. Comes on the show, talks about technology in the morning here on Wednesday before he does it again and in a more complete fashion on DTNS later this afternoon. Where
as do you.
Yeah, I'll be there. So will Robert Herron, who I didn't know was going to be on. And when I found out, I got all excited because I'm a fan of Robert Herron's. He is, as far as I'm concerned, like back in the day, if I needed information about what was happening in the world of like high definition or televisions and stuff, that was the guy.
Yeah.
That you would talk to or hear from, and I always loved hearing
our generation's Scott Wilkinson.
Very much so, I would say.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, I think Robert wants to plow that same path and join those ranks. Because, he's fantastic. Yeah. I've been working with Robert since the early days of ZDTV.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff. He's been doing it forever. And so we had somebody send us an email. I think it might have been Tyler, who said, hey, could you guys cover some TV options? Mm. You know, I'd like to know a little more about what's coming up, especially with the fall seasons coming and everything. So, we're going to have Robert on. He's going to talk about quantum dots and OLED and 4K and super high def and all of that stuff and try to make it all clear for you so you understand what's out there, what your options are, and even a little bit about what's coming on the horizon at CES next year.
Well, you had me at quantum dots.
Sure. Why wouldn't I? I both had you and didn't have you.
Yeah, that's true. So what's on the docket today? What is the big talk outside of the world of television?
Well, I think the other thing that's interesting is NVIDIA Grid went official, and it's called GeForce Now.
Oh.
Now, obviously, Scott, you have to recuse yourself because you do that NVIDIA stream on Saturday.
Yeah.
So you can't have any opinions.
No, yeah, I specifically help them push a device that I actually quite like, the NVIDIA Shield Google TV unit that is designed to take advantage of the grid. / now you're calling it GeForce. What's it called?
GeForce Now.
I had not heard this. This is interesting.
This is new. This is that's why we call it news.
Yeah.
Brand new today.
Yeah,
Just 3 hours ago this was.
So it's not ever going to be called Grid anymore.
No.
Okay.
No, Grid was the beta name. Grid was like the Nintendo Revolution name, the Microsoft Longhorn name.
The Sony Morpheus name.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
This is Grid. I'm sorry. There I go. GeForce Now. I'll get used to it.
Yeah.
Offering up 1080p 60 frame per second streaming that automatically adapts. So if you go, I think, below 30 megabits per second, it'll go down to 720p. It senses how you're doing speed wise. And check this out, price out, $8 a month in the US, £7.49 in the UK, 10 euros in Europe, and 950 yen in Japan. It's expensive in Europe. 10 euros? Really?
Wow, no,
when it's only $8 in the US?
Yeah, that's weird.
I guess the currency conversions are changing.
Plus, you have a lot of weird regional problems with licensing costs and stuff. There's that whole part of the video game business is strange, so I'm not surprised that they're probably having to pad it a little bit out there. But $8 isn't bad. That's pretty
competitive. The Shield Android TV is coming to the UK. If you're like, great, I can subscribe to this service. I don't even have to get a Shield here. Yes, now you do.
Yeah.
Comes bundled with a controller for £150, and a media remote will be sold separately for £40. But big thing is GeForce Now for $8 a month, which, I mean, if you're like, oh, okay, so it's streaming. That's a lot cheaper than PlayStation's, $20 a month for PlayStation Now. But what do they got? How about Mad Max? How about The Witcher 3? How about Metro, Last Light, Redux?
Yeah. I mean, decent games. Good games.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that may not be, you know, day and date release stuff, which nobody's doing that with any streaming, including Sony with their offerings. But this is this is a pretty competitive price. I would only say this, and again,
it's not Crossy Road, is
right,
my point.
Right, exactly. I would say this, and I just want to make this, you know, once again, disclaimer. I do a show on Saturdays for 3 hours for NVIDIA. But I will say this. There's one problem I've had, and I've even said this out loud on that show. There's some confusion about names. And changing this name is not a problem. I don't know that Grid was any better than anything else, but you know, it's hard when you say, well, all right, I want the NVIDIA Shield. Well, are you talking about the tablet? Are you talking about that little portable
phone thing,
handheld with a built-in controller? Mm-hmm. Are you talking about this TV device I'm looking at over here to my
left? And now with GeForce, will that get it confused with the line of video cards?
Yeah, that have been around forever. So what do you think
Here's how you separate it, Ibbot. Do you want GeForce later in your machine? GeForce now, streaming to your Shield device.
I want GeForce tomorrow. What's that? When can I get that?
Oh, that's called our product roadmap.
Yeah.
It was just leaked on Android Police.
Oh, it's breaking news, breaking news. But I guess what I'm saying is I feel like this is actually a good return to making some sense to me because it plays on a name people already associate with NVIDIA. The GeForce name has been around since forever, since the 90s, late 90s. And there's no reason why they shouldn't use some of that in their marketing. So I actually think that's a good move. Grid is also a video game. It's also kind of a generic term for, you know, a grid.
Yeah. Lines.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I liked about it is it implied that that idea that, you know, we have a grid of computers. You're on the grid now. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of cool, but sure. I get why NVIDIA is like, oh no, we want to, we have this GeForce name. Mm-hmm. No one's going to threaten trademark infringement on that except ourselves. Yeah. So yeah. Safe choice.
That's a pretty competitive price, I have to admit. And the device is pretty nice. The one thing I would rave about it is the quality of video from Netflix surprised me because, you know, Netflix has their pseudo 4K with a lot of their content, but you can't get it unless you have the right chip and the right bandwidth. And I didn't even know I had the right bandwidth, but I plugged that thing in and we're just watching Netflix and I went, why does this look so good suddenly? Something's wrong.
You have a 4K TV?
Yeah, no, but it just looked better. That's the weird bit about it, is that just the quality of the 1080p TV with
placebo effect.
Maybe, but I looked at them side by side, Tom, just to be sure.
All right.
Totally better. Fair. And I had the same feeling. And I never really talked about it much because I just thought maybe I was late to the game and everyone already knew this. But supposedly that Tegra chip lets them do more on things like Netflix, and I was unaware of that. So
All right. It
looked really nice. Anyway, that's exciting. Good for them. I want to try it out. See what's up. $8 is pretty good.
$8 a pop.
Well, think again, though. So now we're back to this question about, do we have too many $8 subscriptions right now?
Right. If you like, compare it to Steam, compare it to...
We have it. Well, that doesn't really have a subscription, but you have...
I guess not.
I know what you're saying, but it feels like a subscription.
Because you buy... Right. So I'm buying something every month and it feels like...
Yeah. You buy it so often, it feels like a payment.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always thought of it as a...
But with all your movie stuff, your TV stuff, your, you know, the Unplugger's paradise that we live in right now, and all these subscription services and options, it's just starting to, it's adding up. I'm looking at my monthly thing and going, oh my gosh, I got like 10 of these now.
Well, and that's the weird thing, right? I think people get so upset about their cable bill. And even back in the 90s, people get upset about their telephone bill. And I guess people still get sort of upset about their cell phone bill because it's a big number. Right. Mm-hmm. You look at that $90 or $100 a month from the cable company, sometimes more, especially if you're bundled.
Right.
And you're like, oh, my God, I'm paying all this money. But when you look at Hulu, even at $12, like, oh, it's only $12. And you look at Shield, oh, it's only $8. Mm-hmm. Netflix is only $8. Even though you probably are at risk of building up twice as much if you're not careful. If you subscribe to all these different things.
Yeah.
My big advantage we always talk about on Cord Killers for all this stuff, and it goes for games as well as video services, is you are in control. For good or ill, you can whittle that down easier. Like, I can go in and say, well, you know what, I'm going to cancel this subscription, because I need to save money. Whereas with the cable, it was all or nothing.
Right.
You either cancel the entire thing, which is takes you an hour sometimes, or you just keep it and keep paying.
Well... It's such a fascinating flip in my brain because I thought this is what I wanted and it is what I want, right? But I'm just starting to realize that all of the things I want are starting to be segmented out in these $10 chunks and it's
too much choice.
Yeah.
There's that. Well, and if nothing else, it tells us that the magic number is that $8 to $10 a month amount, right?
Yeah.
For something like this, it's almost the no brainer amount.
It's like as established by Netflix, and then everyone has to kind of hover around that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get away with a little more if you're HBO or, you know.
Well, yeah, it feels risky for Hulu to go 12, but they're trying to argue, well, we're premium. We're saying no commercials, so it's premium. Even though Netflix is cheaper, it doesn't have any commercials.
Yeah.
Right.
HBO now, on the other hand, is like, well, we are HBO.
Yeah.
You know, this is exactly what you would pay if you got it from your cable company. We're just giving you, again, more control. You can cancel it any time. You don't have to prepay. So you're independent of the cable company.
And then Amazon's just weird and goes, well, that's part of your free shipping deal.
Yeah, that's almost the worst, right?
Right.
Because they're like, well, that goes back to the cable problem of like, well, I don't want to cancel Amazon Prime because I need the shipping, or I don't want to cancel the shipping because I'm enjoying the videos.
Right.
Like, that's how they get you.
You better hope you use both a lot and that it's better for your bottom line. But I don't know. Fascinating stuff. Well, it'll be good to to talk about that and more as we get on DTNS later today. Anything else happening you'd like to mention?
Well, Scott, I'm not even kidding. Buy my book.
Oh, yeah. I believe you. I really do.
TomMerrittBooks.com. If you haven't bought my book yet, go buy it now.
Yeah. Go buy it.
They told me I should take a more aggressive tone in my promotions. Is that too aggressive?
Yeah, no, I liked it. Yeah. I liked it. It kind of gave me a little energy. I'm going to go run a mile when we're done here. That was great.
All right.
I really enjoyed it. It's Tom Merritt, everybody.
Scott drew the cover.
Yeah, so look, they can't be all bad. No, I mean, that's the other way. I meant it the other way. It don't hold that against it is what I meant to
say. There you go. That's what you meant.
Some of the words are even understandable this time.
Nothing's coming out right today. Tom Merritt, everybody. Later today, 2:30 DTNS will happen live. I'll be there. Robert Herron, Tom, of course. And we'll have, I assume Roger and Jenny will be around, which will be great. I guess that's it. Ace Detect on Twitter. Tom, have a great time.
You too.
We'll see you later.
Bye. See you, Tom.
Bye now. That's Tom, everyone.
Tom got some great movies in the movie draft as well.
Well, he's good.
He is good.
He knows his stuff.
Talented man, that Tom Merritt.
Well, let's talk about emails. They're brought to us by
Botany Bay, bought on eBay.
Somebody's, I don't know. That's been the big thing. That's
Botany Bay.
Bought on eBay.
Botany Bay.
I bought on eBay. Dear, I don't know how to say that. Savogliate.
Sfogliatelle.
All right. And biscotti.
There you go.
That one's easy. I've seen that on the menu. I know what's up. I was listening to your episode from September the 14th and could not help but notice Brian's mispronunciation of Italian name of the musician who covered the Bruno Mars song. There is no J in the Italian alphabet, so to achieve that sound, the letter G-I are used. Therefore, Gianni is not pronounced Gianni. It is simply pronounced as you spelled it in the Americanized way, Johnny. Same for Giovanni. But people say Giovanni and Gianni all the time.
Right, I say Giovanni Ribisi. I don't say Giovanni. Yeah. I guess I should now. Okay, well, Giovanni and Johnny.
I'm not so sure. Let's see. Pronounce. Let's find out.
Okay,
we're going to pronounce Giovanni, which is how I say it.
The following pronunciation is brought to you by PronounceNames.com.
Okay.
Is presented with limited commercial interruption.
All right, let's see. Here it is.
Giovanni.
Oh, Giovanni.
Giovanni.
Let's try it again.
Giovanni.
Okay. So I guess it is that way. So it's Giovanni Ribisi?
Giovanni Ribisi, yeah.
Not Giovanni?
No, but you could do Ribisi if you want. Giovanni Ribisi.
All right. Point taken. He also says, P.S., by his name is Rocco.
Are you sure that's Rocco? Maybe it's Rocco.
Rocco. It could be Rocco. Rocco. Says, P.S., the two words in the greeting are the names of pastries. The first is pronounced with a Napoleon accent, like Sfogliatelle. There. Sfogliatelle. Good luck with that one, Scott. Yeah. Brian has something here that says, Brian replies, and then the word, oh, yeah. So I'm going to play this, and then you tell me when to stop it. All right?
Okay.
So here we go.
Now, you're obviously the star, and you make a lot of money. How does that function in your relationship? Like, do you pay for dinner, or does he, or how does this all work?
Actually, Gianni always pays for dinner.
Oh, Snooki says Gianni.
Dinner, yes. Which is really, really cute. Has his own business. He does ATM machines.
Oh, so, yeah.
Okay.
Does ATM machines.
He does ATM machines.
I don't know what that means, but...
What the hell does that mean? Snooki's weird. Anyway... she says Giovanni, and she's supposed
Snooki
to be Italian.
Says Gianni.
Yeah, Gianni, and she's supposed to be Italian.
Yeah, but I think he's from New Jersey, so I don't think it counts. Okay. I don't think he's Italian.
All right. I heard wasn't he on Ashley Madison or something? Or some deal about that.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes. Yeah. And
that's not good.
No, that's right. Sorry, that was a news story here.
Sorry, Snooks. Finally, we want to make a mention of a good friend of ours. FantasyCoinHQ.com is running a Kickstarter. It has 60 hours left for these awesome CoinKeeper treasure chest unit deals.
Oh, this thing is so cool.
Pretty rad. We've talked about the coins before. If you came to Nerdtacular the last couple of years, chances are you've gotten the commemorative Nerdtacular coin made by FantasyCoin. And it's a great place to stick those. The rupees that you got, Brian, those are cool.
Mm-hmm.
60 hours left, Kickstarter. Go search for Fantasy Coin, and it's
they lock.
The
they
one.
Actually lock, and they're decent size. Like from the photo, it's really hard to tell how big this thing is. But when you watch the most recent campaign update, you can see him actually holding one, and it's like, oh, dude, this is so cool.
Well, what if I, when I open, when I get mine, this is what's going to happen when I open mine. You ready?
Yeah.
Check this out. Perfect. He did the perfect movement at the right moment there. And then I'd say, all right.
I'm going to store a slingshot in there.
That's it. That's your emails. That's your stuff. And go check that out. Kickstarter.com. Search for Fantasy Coin. Help that guy out. It's pretty rad. They're almost funded. They're almost there. That's it. Thank you so much for sending those in. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is the email address. 801-471-0462 is our voicemail line. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Hold on. Excuse me. Nice. On Twitter, we're at MorningStream. Bingo. Scott Johnson at Coverville. And find our subreddit at frogpants.reddit.com. There are great stuff happening over there, including the following. Check this out. What's hot on the page today? Scott's worst nightmare. Truck hauling millions of bees overturns on a highway.
Oh, see, millions of bees even.
Yeah, I'm going to go find that. They also broke down TMS 899, which was yesterday's Alpha 2 Delta Pixel Face. So that's there. They talk about Donald Trump stuff, and there's something about video games in here and Scott's IMDb page and who changed it, and it's awesome. So go check these out. Yeah. It's,
oh, there's comments. Wow. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Frogpants.reddit.com will take you straight to our subreddit. Thanks to everybody who's helping us out over there. It's awesome. I was going to say one other thing and I forgot. I don't remember now. Oh, well.
Oh, you're going to say, Brian, there's a Coverville today. What's it going to be about?
Hey, Brian, there's a Coverville today. What's it going to be about?
That's perfect. So glad you asked.
Sure.
In honor of Brian Ferry's birthday, lead singer of Roxy Music, also had a good solo career, we're going to do a Roxy Music cover story. So, nice. Don't Stop the Dance, Avalon, Love is the Drug, all that stuff.
Okay.
Covers of all of it.
Will you be doing his famous, let's see, do I have it here? Do you have this? No. Yeah, do you have this song? All right.
Yes. But it'll be a cover, so it'll be probably by an acoustic lady.
Okay, good. Acoustic lady. My
acoustic
favorite.
Acoustic lady.
What's her power?
Able to plink, plunk, plink, plunk, plink on a guitar for hours and hours. Wow. Excelsior.
That's pretty good. Unplugged and everything. All right, that's it. We're out of here. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Speaking of music, let's play another song now and leave everyone in peace.
Sure. Well, Nick wrote in, said, hi, Sound Blaster. Since you missed my birthday cover song request back in June, would you please be able to fulfill this request on Wednesday's show? I have to make the rather sad journey on Thursday to my father's funeral, and I'll be listening to Wednesday's TMS on the flight there. Could you please find me a great cover of Linkin Park's Iridescent, or as the wags on the internet sometimes call it, Let It Go. By the way, for those that don't know, Iridescent predates the Frozen Let It Go.
Oh,
don't let the bad news get you down, though, from Nick.
All right.
I didn't have a cover of Iridescent, but I decided to stick with the Linkin Park request chain and go with something from Basement Alchemy. They released this back in 2012 on their Covers from the Basement. It's you know, it's slower, it's somber, but I think it's appropriate and it'll work. It's Linkin Park's Burn It Down, covered here by Basement Alchemy.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
My name is Tonya.
My name is Tonya.